Amen. Hey, am I on? Yes. Man, hey, good morning. I am so thankful that you guys have decided to be here today. And man, if you're joining us online today, we just want to say welcome and thank you so much for being a part of online as well. And we hope and pray that, man, even as you are at home, man, the presence of Jesus touches your life. And so, we're going to take each week as we go and as we adventure into this new season that we find ourselves in, we're going to take each week as it comes. And our goal is to meet together as much as we possibly can until things need to pivot. And if things do, we'll let you know about that. But we're going to take precautions as we come in. And, you know, we have hand sanitizer stations at the doors. And man, we have an amazing cleaning crew that just do an amazing job of cleaning, everything like that. So we want to encourage you, man, be a part of what we're doing here, if you can. And if you decide, you know, hey, it's best for me and my family to be online, man, hey, there's the option for you as well. And we just want to say thank you for doing that. If you are a guest with us, man, my name is Josh McCann, and my wife and I get the amazing privilege of being the pastors here at the church. And so we're in a series that we've entitled Wholeness, and we're going to be doing part four. And so I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, if you have a smartphone, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read one verse there, but then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to read a few verses there. And so First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. We're going to read one verse. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May he sanctify you wholly. And he goes on and says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Matthew chapter 16. That's in the beginning part of the New Testament. It's the first book of the New Testament. It's called the Gospel of Matthew. And so Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 24 through 26. Verse 24 through 26. Read with me. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Today we're going to continue in the discussion that we started a few weeks back on this topic, wholeness. And so would you pray with me over God's word here today? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for what you have planned for us as individuals today. And God, Lord, I just ask God that you would just touch our lives. Lord, I pray for every single one of us in this building. I pray for every single one of us watching online that you would speak to us, challenge us, encourage us, and bring conviction where conviction is needed in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we began a series that we've entitled Wholeness. And our desire for this series is to begin a discussion and embark on a journey back to wholeness in one's life and wholeness in all of who you and I are. God desires for us to experience wholeness spiritually, internally, and physically as well. And his desire for all of us is to be whole, because that was what his desire was at the very beginning. It still is his purpose for you and I. It's to have a life of wholeness, to live a life that is both whole in spirit, soul, and body. John 10:10, Jesus said this, that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And the reality of our lives is the mere fact that sin, the entrance of sin, kind of messed up God's original plan. However, man, we understand and recognize that God, he knew that. And so he's like, hey, I'm going to give you Jesus because of the messiness of sin. I'm going to give you Jesus so that way you could embark on this journey back to wholeness in your life. The Bible defines the dictionary, when you look up the word wholeness, the dictionary defines wholeness as this: free of wound or injury, recovered from a wound or injury or being healed. It has this idea of physically sound and healthy, mentally or emotionally sound, having all its proper parts or components. It also has this idea of constituting the entirety of a person's nature or development. Now, the Greek word that's used in 1 Thessalonians where he says, may your whole spirit, that Greek word for whole carries the same connotation. It has this idea of to be complete or sound in every part. But it also carries and implies, you know, in indicating that every grace that's present in Jesus is like should be present in his followers. You got to grab a hold of every grace that is present in Christ should be manifested in the believer. And it's an interesting word because the root of that word that Paul uses is where we get our word inheritance from. And this is what I believe Paul was getting at. Because of Jesus, part of your inheritance is wholeness in your life. That wholeness isn't just part of you, but it's the complete you, the spirit, soul, and body part of who you are. And so just as God gave the Israelites in the Old Testament an inheritance, but they had to go after it, they had to actually activate it and go and grab a hold of it, the same thing is with you and I here today. Jesus has given you and I an inheritance, but we have to grab a hold of it by faith in Jesus. Then, like, we kind of started that discussion a few weeks back. Then we talked about getting real in order to get healed. And then last week, we discussed our identity in Christ, and today is this next step in the journey of becoming healed or experiencing wholeness in Christ. And I've posed today's topic as a question for you and I to ponder and to consider today. It's simply this, is are you really in control? Are you really in control? Do you know someone that is a control freak? A person that has to absolutely be in control of everything. Now, don't look to your neighbor or your spouse or someone else. Don't point the finger because I am sure that all of us, to a certain degree, struggle with wanting to control certain aspects in our lives. We all try and control certain things in our lives. I am absolutely certain of it that we do that from time to time. I mean, let's just talk about a few things that we try to control that I know you have probably been guilty of, just as I have been guilty of. And that is, this first thought is simply we try to control the traffic. Especially when we're in a hurry, right? Like since we're in a hurry, everyone else needs to be in a hurry. Have you ever been in a hurry and all of a sudden everyone else seems to not be in a hurry? And you're like, so you try to control the lights. You ever do this? The light's going to turn green now. Like, no, now. You're like, all right, the Lord's going to turn the light green now. And we try to control this. Or have you ever heard someone say this? Buddy, learn how to drive. Right? Like we try to control traffic. Also, man, have you ever tried to control your kids? Have you ever tried to control a toddler that is hungry or tired? It's almost impossible. What about we try to control our spouse? Well, if they would just do X, Y, and Z, or if they would just be like this, everything would be great. They would just be great. We even try to control our boss or our employer. We try to control other people. We try to control their emotions. Well, that's just stupid for you to feel that way. We try to control, like, their actions. We try to control even sometimes their careers. We try to even control people buying toilet paper, friends. Like, right, like we try to control those things. We try to control the weather. Man, matter of fact, man, if the weather would have cooperated, I could have got my gutters cleaned on Friday. I woke up this morning and there was snowing. And I'm like going, Lord, I rebuke this snow. Like, right, like we try to control the weather. Or we try to control how things change. Well, if things are going to change, it's going to change like this. I mean, with the whole coronavirus that is sweeping the nation, things are changing and may not be the same. How do we respond to that? We try to control our careers. Hey, I will only do this if this happens. Like we even try to control our gifts, don't we? Like we want to be on the stage when we're really meant to be in the backfield. You know, Samuel anointed kings, but he would never be a king himself. We even try to control God. You might be saying, how, Pastor? Well, I've named it and claimed it, so therefore God has to do it. Really? Last time I checked, he's God. He doesn't have to answer to you or I. Like, the truth is, there are certain things that we try to control when in reality we'll never be able to control. I mean, we fret and we worry over so many things that are out of our control. I mean, look at people right now and how they're literally freaking out concerning the coronavirus. And I am in no way minimizing the reality or the ramifications of this virus. I am just simply pointing out the mere fact that it is out of our control. None of us can control whether or not we will in fact get it or not. Like, none of us can do that. I mean, we could do our best to stay healthy and clean, but you know what? I cannot control the germ realm. I can't do it. You know, I can't even control the destiny or future of my kids. I wish I could. Like, no, you're not going to do that. Like, I'm not God. God has their own destiny for their life, and I've got to release them to do that, you know? And when you and I, what we end up doing is many times is we worry ourselves into unwholeness, worry ourselves into physical exhaustion, worry ourselves into being a mess internally, all because of these things that we cannot control. Even in our own lives, man, we try our hardest to control things that, quite frankly, I don't know about you, but I'm not that good at controlling, left to myself. See, when it comes to wholeness in your life, in my life, there's certain principles that we must understand and apply daily to our lives if we're going to experience the wholeness that God desires for you and for me. And in order to experience the wholeness of God that God desires for us, we have to give up control. And so, which leads me to my big idea for you and I here this morning. And it's simply this. In order to gain control in your life, you have to give up control of your life. In order to gain control in your life, you have to give up control of your life. Man, when you make certain decisions to give up control in your life to God, he gives you the power to begin to have control of your life, which takes you down this road to truly experience a biblical wholeness in your life. And hear me, friends, you cannot truly have control in your life when you are still trying to be in control of your life. Because you and I have to accept the reality that there's only one God. And guess what, friends? It's not you. And so we've got to give up control of our life so that way God can begin to give us the power and the grace to have control in our life. See, the passage that we read in Matthew 16, I find very fascinating because of its context. I mean, when you read the greater context of Matthew 16, it's fascinating to me, and here's why. At the beginning of Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples that were with him and said, hey, who do people say that I am? And they give all these answers, and then he goes, hey, who do you say that I am? And all of a sudden, they begin to say, you know, well, they're this or that, and all of a sudden, you know, Peter pipes up. You're the Son of the living God. And all of a sudden after that, Jesus begins to discuss how he's going to be like betrayed and how he's going to be suffer persecution and suffer, you know, beatings. And then he's going to die from the religious leaders and he's going to resurrect 3 days later. And then after that, Peter rebukes Jesus and said, no, you're not going to suffer. You're not going to go through that. You're the Messiah. And all of a sudden, Jesus rebukes Peter the same way he rebuked the devil. Matter of fact, Jesus called Peter the devil. And then after that, Jesus begins to break down what does it look like if you're truly going to follow after Jesus and be his disciple. He goes, this is what it looks like. And he begins to discuss really what it means to be on this path now back to wholeness, in my opinion. And so there are four things in Matthew 16, the three verses that we read here this morning, that I believe that you and I, if we could make a decision, and we could decide this morning, the decisions that are in our control, to decide to give up control, we could begin to now experience wholeness in our life like never before. And so that leads me to decision number one. The first thing in order to give up control is this. You have to be willing to have the right perspective. You have to be willing to have the right perspective. Matthew 16, 25 through 26. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what a profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, I know this isn't in order of the passage, but I would say that you and I, in order for us to obey the three commands in verse 24, we have to be confronted with the idea in verse 25 and 26. See, Jesus is really getting to the core of life. If you gain everything there is imaginable, everything in the entire world, but you forfeit your own soul, he's like, was it worth it in the end? Was it worth it? Yeah, you're the richest guy in the entire world, but you gave up your soul to do that. He's like, was it worth it? Was it worth it? In order to do the three commands above, which really is giving up control of one's life, you must see all of life differently. You have to have a perspective change. See, you must see your life not of your own anymore, but lost to the cause of Christ. You have to see it as this loss to the cause of Christ. It's not giving up control to simply give up control. It's giving up control with the sole perspective that it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about his life. It's about for his sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says this. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Did you catch the lingo? You were bought at a price. The perspective of your life and my life has to be, it's about Jesus, not about me. It's about his cause, not my cause. It's about his life, not my life. You see, you love your wife or you love your husband for Jesus' sake. You love your kids for Jesus' sake. You love your neighbors for Jesus' sake. You are a good boss for Jesus' sake. You are part of a local body of believers and gather with them weekly for Jesus' sake. You serve those around you for Jesus' sake. See, the perspective is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And if we fail to keep that perspective, we will lose track as to why we do what we do. See, we will begin to twist what we do because we lost our perspective. See, you and I will never give up control of our life when we have the wrong perspective. Galatians 2:20. Says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is he saying? He's saying, because you are Jesus's, your life is no longer your own. You've got to have a different perspective so you can live differently in this world. You'll never stand up for Jesus at your school if you don't have the right perspective. You'll never stand up for Jesus at your job if you don't have the right perspective. You'll never stand up for Jesus in the marketplace if you don't have the right perspective. I mean, just last night I got in this conversation with someone on Facebook because they commented on something that I said, and they said that Jesus isn't God. And I was like, really? Where did you come up with that? And he came up with some stuff. And I'm like, man, you're quite deceived, friend. And I engaged in some conversations, and honestly, there's a side of me that I kind of regret kind of being that bold because I felt like I was a little rude. But at the same time, I wanted him to know that, listen, there is no other way that man shall be saved. It is through Jesus, that he is God, that he is the Savior of the world, and that there is no other way to get to heaven. Without the right perspective, you and I will not be as bold as we could or should. It's about Jesus, and we must make sure our perspective is in line with his perspective. Step two is this. You have to be willing to make the personal decision to deny yourself daily. You have to be willing to make the personal decision to deny yourself daily. Okay, now that we looked at verse 24 and 25, let's, with the right perspective, that's about Jesus. It's about losing your life for his sake, about losing your life for his cause. Now let's read with the lens of that, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Galatians 2:20, let's read that one more time. Now, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus is literally, he is literally telling you to completely separate yourself from ever knowing the old you. He's not referring to ignoring your personality makeup like how God wired you. He's not referring to the uniqueness of how God made you. When you really think about what Jesus is implying and what he is saying to you and I here this morning, it can come across quite offensive. And here's why. What is Jesus really saying? He's saying this. Who you used to be does not matter. Matter of fact, forget about that person. Forget about that person. He's referring to who you were before encountering who he is. He's referring to the unredeemed part of who you are, referring to the sinful nature in which you operated in up to this point. Peter denied Jesus. And when he says, let him deny himself, it's the same word that is used about Peter that Jesus uses right here. And Peter literally denied Jesus in such a way that he acted as if he never even knew Jesus. And Jesus is telling you and I here this morning, he's saying to you that you have literally have to act like you don't even know the old you. Act as if you don't even know him or her. When the old you creeps up, deny them power over your life to take control. That's what he's saying. He's saying when insecurity raises its ugly head, you remind yourself of your security in Christ. When impure thoughts or desires rise up within you, you remind yourself because of Jesus, you can think differently and have desires that are pure. When anger comes up out of nowhere, you remind yourself that because of Jesus, you can have self-control. When depression tries to grip your heart from imbalances in your body, man, you remind yourself that you have the power to choose joy because of Jesus and begin to praise him right where you are at because there's fullness of joy in the presence of God. And you begin to worship like never before. You've got to forget who you used to be because you encountered someone that changes everything about you. See, when you and I have the right perspective, denying ourselves gets easier. I am not saying that this is easy, that it would just be easy peasy for your life. Because Paul seems to imply that that may not be the case. He says that in Romans chapter 7. And he says that in Galatians chapter 5. I'm just saying that the clearer your perspective, the clearer you're able to see in order to make the personal decisions necessary to deny oneself. See, self-denial for the sake of self-denial is an expression of the self's need for control, not submission to God's thinking. See, it's denying self so that the new you can come in alignment with what God says. You have to be willing to deny yourself. And I think if we ask ourselves a question, how am I doing with that? It's a convicting question sometimes. But it's a step in order for you and I to experience wholeness. We have to answer and we have to be willing to deny ourselves, because there's things about the old you that wants to creep up and kind of really honestly pollute the new you. In order for you to experience wholeness from the past of who you used to be, you've got to be willing to deny that past to come back up. And so you have to make the decision to deny yourself. But you also, this third one is a little bit more personal. And it's a little bit more straightforward. You have to be willing to bear the cross of Christ in order to experience the life-giving power of Christ. You have to be willing to bear the cross of Christ in order to experience the life-giving power of Christ. Verse 24, he goes on and says, hey, let him deny himself and take up his cross. This is a personal, intentional decision. It's an intentional decision. It's within the statement that Jesus is exposing those that are currently following him and those that one day would want to in the future to a bigger reality. See, when you say yes to Jesus and decide to pick up your cross, you are opening your life up to certain realities within one's journey with Jesus. You are literally, and hear me, this is Bible, this is truth. You are literally signing up for pain, suffering, trials, and even the possibility of death by saying yes to the cross of Christ. This is quite literally what Jesus is saying. Saying yes to Jesus is literally signing up for the reality that we are not exempt from bad things happening to us. We're not exempt from that. Matter of fact, bad things may come our way because we said yes to Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 seems to allude to that. Seems to allude to the mere fact that he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices unto Jesus, right? So we're supposed to give ourselves, lay our lives down, and take up his cross. Within this very, like, moment that Jesus is saying this, Jesus is no doubt talking about the possibility of actually losing one's life physically. Like, see, the cross in that day was a symbol or a sign literally of a death sentence. The area in which Jesus is saying this to, matter of fact, just a few years before this moment, 100 people were crucified in that very spot. Historians would tell us, and they believe, that just in the lifetime of Jesus alone, some 30,000 people would be crucified underneath Roman rule. That's just in Jesus' lifetime. He is shouting to his followers and to you and I here this morning, if you're going to come after me and experience the wholeness I want to give you, you must be willing to bear the cross in that journey. You have to be willing to accept suffering, pain, persecution, and even possibly death. Way to cheer us up, Pastor Josh. This is truth, and this is the side that we fail to tell people in the Christian sector, especially in America, friends. We want to tell people that, man, walking for Jesus, man, you're never going to suffer, as if, like, us being American exempts us from that. That is not what Jesus says. He's saying, if you want wholeness in your life, if you want forgiveness in your life, if you want to experience true freedom in your life, you and I have to be willing to pick up our cross daily and be okay with pain and suffering and hardships. The coronavirus, friends, listen, we are not God. But guess what? Regardless of how this plays out, he's still king. Regardless of how this thing ends, he's still God. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If it takes my life, guess what, friends? I'm going to be dancing on streets of gold. Right? It's okay. Why? Because I'll be with Jesus. Would that stink? Yes, because I'm leaving my family behind. But guess what? I don't know if I'd actually really be sad in that point. Because I'm going to be dancing with Jesus. Man, we have to be willing to be okay saying, God, if you bring anything my way, guess what? You're still God, and I'm still going to walk with you. Why? Because I'm picking up my cross daily. I'm picking up my cross daily. Paul, he said it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. He says this. Go ahead, Michaela. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Verse 9. Verse 8, yeah. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrections and the fellowship of his sufferings. I hate the mere fact that he plurals that word. Thanks, Paul. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Man, that he may fellowship with his sufferings. That was Paul's attitude. Why? Because he knew that there's something waiting for him on the other side. You see, Satan wanted to remove suffering from Jesus. And he wants to remove suffering from your life as well. He wants you to believe that there's something wrong with you if you're going through hardships, going through trials, going through sickness, going through persecution. Of course, we understand that the enemy uses those things. We get that. But he twists that in such a way to make you think there's something wrong with you if you go through those things. That's why Peter rebuked Jesus. He was like, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're not going to suffer. Like, how dare you? Don't speak that over your life, Jesus. But here's the thing. Suffering is a misunderstood concept in Christian living. And I want you to hear this, friends. We mistakenly believe that the apostles were always victorious over everything instead of victorious through everything. You see the difference? We sometimes think, well, man, these are these mighty men of God. They were victorious over everything. No. They were just victorious through everything. Paul prayed for his thorn in his flesh to be removed 3 times. And God said, no. And then he responds, my grace shall be sufficient for you. What? I want the thing removed. Timothy had stomach issues that Paul addressed in his letter to him. Why didn't Paul just heal him? Try and wrap your mind around this one. Trophimus was left in Miletus by Paul sick. What? How come Paul didn't lay hands on him and just heal him? I don't know. He ditched him. Peace out, brother. I hope you get better. Like what? Epaphroditus got so sick that he almost died. And Paul talks about this in the book of Ephesians. James, try and wrap your head around this one. James was beheaded while Peter was set free from the same jail by an angel. Talk about picking favorites, right? Like what? Paul was eventually beheaded and Peter was crucified upside down during Nero's violent persecution of the Christians. John the Apostle, the one who wrote the Gospel of John, who wrote the letters of John, who wrote the Revelation book, right? He was boiled in oil and exiled to the island of Patmos when he was over 90 years old. Favor. Right? Like, I don't like that favor. Here's my point. You and I are no different than these. God's purpose is not to remove suffering, but to use it. God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a pain that you go through. He never wastes a trial you go through. He never wastes a sickness you go through. He never wastes those bad things that happen. He will use it for his purposes and for his glory. He will use it. See, you have to be willing. You have to be willing to have the right perspective. You have to be willing to make the personal decision to deny yourself. You have to be willing to bear the cross of Christ in order to experience the life-giving power of Christ. In number four, you have to be willing to follow wherever Jesus' path leads. You have to be willing to follow wherever Jesus' path leads. He goes on, he says, anyone who desires to come after me, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be one of my disciples, you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross and you have to follow me. You have to follow me. This is what I have found, and I'm sure you have found this to be true. Many times we look at other people's lives and compare our lives with their assignment. Here's the thing. We have to understand that that may not be their assignment. We have to understand that, for me, I do believe that there's basic principles and a common path that all of us have to follow. But there's also uniqueness within your personal journey. And your personal assignment may not be my personal assignment. And I want you to grab a hold of this. The only way for us to truly head down the road of wholeness is to truly follow Jesus ourselves on the track he has us on and quit worrying about other people's tracks. Is that muted? I'm sorry, is the keys muted? Could you unmute that? Awesome, thanks. Now hear me, I'm not talking about holding each other accountable. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not even what he's saying. But I want you to grab a hold of, there's this story that encapsulates that captures this very heart, this very thing about following Jesus with your path, with what he's asking you to do, the cross that he's asking you to bear, the things he's asking you to accomplish. It's captured in this story of John chapter 21. And in John chapter 21, it's after the resurrection and Jesus just got done reinstating Peter. And that now he's talking to Peter and this is what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, he's talking to Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if he will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is Peter. Peter's going, time out. What about him? So wait. You're saying I'm going to be crucified. You're saying I'm going to die. What about this dude over here? Jesus, that's not fair. And Jesus just kindly replies that, hey, his assignment doesn't concern you. You follow your assignment and you follow me. You follow me. It's in our following that we gain confidence in our assignment because we realize this isn't about me. It's about how my life will glorify God. In order to gain control in your life, you have to give up control of your life. Are you really in control?
As we close right here, let me ask you a couple questions. Have you surrendered all to Jesus? Truly surrendered everything to Him? Like today, heaven forbid that you would breathe your last breath. Like today, you know, with a shadow of a doubt, that you would actually stand with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. Are you confident? Are you sure of that very fact? Because if you're not, you still have control of your life. And Jesus is just simply here today saying, hey, give up control so I can give you control. If that's you today, I want to challenge you. Would you simply cry out to Jesus? Because the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simply recognizing the mere fact that you need a Savior. And guess what, friends? All of us in here need one. All of us do. All of us have to say yes to Jesus to gain entrance into heaven. So my question to you is, have you truly surrendered your life to Christ? Because if you haven't, man, would you do that today? Are you trying to control things in your life that are out of your control? I understand that there's fear going around concerning the virus, and we need to take it, you know, reasonably, you know, and understand that, man, there's things that we have to do. But listen, at the end of the day, friends, you can't control that. Don't let the enemy paralyze you in fear. Don't let the enemy get you to be so bottled up that you are so anxious and you're worrying. Why? Because that's how you get ill on the inside. The enemy doesn't want you to be whole. He wants you to be broken, busted, and disgusted. He wants nothing but death to you. But guess what, friends? Jesus, He's come to give you life and life more abundantly, but you have to give up control to gain control. Third question is this. When it comes to following Jesus, do you struggle with denying yourself? Well, Pastor Josh, this is my life, and you said focus on your own path. I think you missed the point. I think all of us struggle from time to time, and I mean, if we're being truly honest, we probably eat the second cookie when we were only supposed to eat one. Right? We like, man, I shouldn't have said that to my kid. I should have stopped a minute ago. I shouldn't have said that to my spouse who just got underneath my skin and she deserved it. When really, I should have just paused. Do you struggle with denying yourself? Well, Pastor Josh, that person said something not very nice to me on Facebook, so I blasted them on Instagram. Cool. Do you struggle with denying yourself? And the last question, have you truly accepted the mere fact that picking up your cross signs you up not for a life of ease, but could quite literally sign you up for a life of suffering and persecution? Have you settled it within your soul? Said, I'm going to have the right perspective and I'm going to take up my cross. See, truly getting to a place where wholeness can begin in our lives means getting to a place of full surrender to Christ, giving up full control of your life, because it's only then that you will gain the power to control your life. How do you need to respond today? How do you need to respond today? We're going to go back into a time of worship. We ended early on purpose, and we switched our service around on purpose today because we wanted to be able to just go back into worship and lift up the name that's above every other name, the name that can help you deny yourself, the name that can help you overcome the old you, the name that can help you go out of this place with boldness, the name that can help you go out of this place with your head held high, knowing that you are going to one day walk the streets of gold, all because you said yes to Jesus. The name that sets you free and from the bondage of sin and death. That name, at that name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is King, and we're going to worship that God. We're going to lift up that name. Why? Because guess what, friends? It doesn't matter about what's going on the outside. Listen, Jesus, he's still king and he's Lord and he deserves all the word, all the praise, all the honor and everything else. And so can we worship this king? Can we lift up that name? Can we respond today? How do you need to respond today? Man, would you do business between you and God? If it's surrendering your life to Jesus, even if you're online and you're surrendering your life to Christ, man, would you just respond by saying, hey, I've rededicated my life, or hey, I'm committing my life to Christ. Or maybe today you need to tell someone else, like, hey, I accepted Jesus. But can we stand to our feet and can we lift up that name? Can we spend some time worshiping Jesus today? Come on, let's worship.
All I have because of Jesus.